Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Evangelism Sunday is taken from Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Grace. It is one of the most important and most familiar words in the Bible. In the New King James translation of the Bible, it is used almost 150 times. You hear the word grace used often in church circles. It's used actually as the name of a number of churches, including the church that we rent from in Hayward. Grace is the subject of many hymns. As you may have noticed today, the subject of our hymns is the word grace, including probably one of the most famous hymns of all time, Amazing Grace, which we just sung. But what does grace mean? And why is grace so important? Well, grace means undeserved love. I would guess that most, if not all, of my 6th through 8th grade catechism students could answer that question. Grace means undeserved love. But do we fully understand and grasp what grace actually means? What the concept of grace actually means? Have you ever tried to do that? Fully comprehend what God's grace toward us truly means? These verses from Ephesians chapter 2 are some of the most important verses in the Bible concerning that topic of grace. You hear the word grace used a couple of times by Paul in these verses, but it's one of the most important sections of Scripture to tell us not only what grace means, but to show us that it is by grace that we are saved, and then how important that grace is for our everyday Christian lives. The verses of our text are, in fact, a perfect section of Scripture for our Evangelism Sunday. Why is that? Because God's grace is the essence of the gospel, the good news. And evangelism is preaching or sharing that good news, the gospel. After all, the good news is all about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It is the story of God's grace. By grace you have been saved, as verse 8 of our text tells us. These are great words to build our faith upon. Great words to build all of our preaching and our teaching upon. Grace, God's undeserved love, means that our salvation has absolutely nothing to do with us, and has everything to do with Jesus, from beginning to end. Paul makes that very clear in our text today, doesn't he? So clear, in fact, that you have to wonder why so many people throughout history, even in our day, have gotten grace wrong. You have to wonder also why we have to keep rebuking our own natural inclinations to believe or do otherwise, to actually go against grace with what we think or feel or believe. By nature, and even from our own experience of life in this world, we are led to believe that there is no such thing actually as true grace. We even have expressions that say there's no such thing as a free lunch. In other words, there's nothing that is valuable or of any worth that is absolutely, positively, 100% free. Anything that is good or valuable, you have to do something to get. At least that's our experience in life. And that's what we feel and think and believe by nature. So we, and all human beings like us, by nature apply the same type of thinking to God and to our salvation. In order to please God and be right with Him, I must have to do something to gain that salvation. I've got to somehow work for it, be made good enough, or make myself good enough to deserve the good that God is giving me in the end. Well, if we are trying to work our way to the pearly gates of heaven, that is not grace. Paul tells us in our text, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, perhaps for most of us who are gathered here today, we are far too Lutheran to fall for that lie. We know, like some of the tenets of the Reformation itself, we're by grace alone. We know we're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith, just like Martin Luther taught and has been taught in Lutheran churches for 500 years, just like our passage states. We are saved by grace. But isn't there a part of you that wants to believe that you did contribute something, at least a little bit, to your faith or to your salvation? Or maybe that you just somehow, in some small way, deserve to be a believer, deserve to be one of God's people. After all, we can tell ourselves, I've been pretty good. At least I'm not like the people who live down the street from me or the people I see in the news who are doing bad things. I don't do many bad things. I don't say all that many bad things. I don't cuss or swear, at least not that much. I haven't committed too many really big sins before. I'm usually helping people out. I go to church on Sundays. Doesn't it make sense that God would want me on His team? That must be why God chose me to be His own, to be one of His children. But that's not grace either. Why has God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as our text says? He gives the answer. He says, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Another word for sins. God's grace is so great that He loved us even when there wasn't anything in the slightest that was lovable about us. When nothing in us deserved His love, His kindness, His mercy, or His compassion. It was only because God is rich in mercy and because of His great love with which He loved us. That is grace. Grace is a love that loves the unlovable, that shows kindness and mercy to the undeserving. Grace is a love that sends your only Son to pay for the sins of the unloving, the unbelieving, even for people like you and me. Well, maybe we haven't fallen for that lie either. Maybe we fall for the lie that's been fed to many Christians and many people have swallowed today that say that I do believe that I'm saved by grace, but the believing part, that's something that I had to do. That's my part. I had to make my decision to believe in Jesus. I had to turn my life over to Jesus. I had to decide to live for God, and I had to choose Him. Is that grace? Actually, no, that's not grace either. What does Paul say in our text? He reminds us that our spiritual state that we are born in and when we come into this world is this. He says, we were dead in trespasses. That's our spiritual condition at birth. Dead. The Bible doesn't say we were sick, doesn't say we were wounded, doesn't say we were even paralyzed or otherwise impaired. Dead. A dead person cannot make themselves alive again. A dead person can't choose. The only choosing a dead person can do is to choose to stay dead. A dead man can't receive a gift, even if it's a free gift. A dead person cannot do anything. But notice what Paul says, and see how the verses of this text give us a fuller understanding of what it is when we say that God has saved us by his grace. Paul says, but God made us alive together with Christ. God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And in case that wasn't all clear enough, that it was God who raised us up and gave us life in Christ, he goes on to say in the very next verse to remind us that even the faith that we have has been given to us by God. It is a gift of God. Listen again to those verses, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. That phrase, it is a gift of God, is referring back to both the grace of God, his act of saving us through Jesus, and to that word, faith. So the grace of God and the faith that God gives us are, as Paul says, a gift of God, not of ourselves and not by works. Grace means very simply that from beginning to end, our salvation is God's work. It's not ours. Not by our decision, not by our cooperation, and certainly not by our own works. In fact, God is so completely the author of our spiritual life that Paul reminds us in the last verse of our text that even the good works that we do are a creation of God himself. Those good works that God has called us to do as spiritually reborn children of him, Paul says they are part of his preparation and his work. He says in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them," or that we should live in them. So let me ask you, how much did you have a say in being born physically into this world? Did you tell your parents, you know, around May 14th, 1978, that'd be a good time to be born? Seemed like a good year, a good time of the year? No. I had no say in when I was born physically into this world, and neither did you. In the same way, it follows that we, being born as spiritual children of God, did we have any say in becoming God's children spiritually by faith? And the answer is no. The Bible tells us that we are his workmanship, his work of art. He created us in Christ Jesus for good works. That was one of the reasons he made us his children. Yes, to save us and give us heaven, but also to create us to do good works. Good works that we would do so that we didn't just sit on our hands and wait for Jesus to come again and take us to heaven, but so that we would do those good things that benefit both our fellow man and glorify our Savior in heaven as we walk through this life, to show our love and our thankfulness to him by showing our love to others. And yet, as Paul tells us, even these works God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. God is there creating those opportunities, the situations to love and honor him. He puts people in our lives to show our love for him, to serve them, and to bless them. And he gives us the motivation and the power to put those works into practice and perform them. Do you realize what this actually then means for our lives? What security that we have. What assurance that we have. God's love saved us. His power raised us from spiritual death and made us alive through faith in Christ, which in itself is a gift of his grace. He preserves us in that faith. He motivates us, moves us, empowers us to do good works. The works that he has prepared and laid out in our lives individually, especially just for you and me. None of that depends on our own powers or efforts. So why do we continue to try to rely on our own strength when it comes to spiritual things or our faith life? Don't rely on yourself or your own strength. Rely on God, on His strength, and rest on His grace. For He has told us in His Word, just like He told the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," or in our weakness. So what is grace, really? This is grace. That those of us, we who were dead, have been made alive. That we in whom nothing really good lives or dwells have been declared righteous, innocent, forgiven, and set free, acceptable to God in heaven, empowered to be His children and to do good works. That we who know and feel the guilt of our sins have been forgiven and freed by the cross of Christ, by Jesus' sacrifice. That we who were once heirs of death and hell itself are now heirs of heaven. Can there be anything more precious to us? Can there be anything more amazing than grace? Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.